And welcome into the Thursday edition, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game. Robbie Stanley alongside Joe Rex Road, Ian Safar here with you, live from our Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership where the buzz is always about great service. We got a lot going on in the program today. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports for his weekly visit will be with us at 8 o'clock. We will get into the Titans. I'm sure Brian Callahan will come up. We will get into all things NFL with him as well. Looking forward to that. The best and worst things in sports coming up later this hour at 6:45. Joe Rex Road, good morning. How are you?
Hanging in there. Not making the pre-show meetings as robust as maybe needed. So we may need to work on that with me.
Apparently traffic pretty rough out there this morning.
Yeah, if you're on, this is probably always true, but 24 today especially. I don't know why. I mean, apparently there's some accident somewhere, but it's pretty bad today. So if you can avoid 24, but I would say that to you every day.
Yeah,
if you don't have to take 24 in your life, I would not ever do it.
Probably
really.
A good call.
Yeah, unfortunately, that's not something I have an option of skipping. Unless I get up really early, but of course, that's kind of a problem.
Yeah. Why would we do that?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're already up at 3 o'clock for the pre-show meeting.
So right. You don't want to get up early. The pre-show meeting, and then you go, sometimes go and get Izzo breakfast, stuff like that.
There's a lot of things
that
need to be done.
Doozy has to have his poached eggs just so, and you know.
Paprika, he said.
Yeah, if you miss a paprika.
We had a love fest. We all kind of gathered around. We hugged each other.
Narduzzi loses his mind if you don't get the paprika just right on the eggs, man.
There are people listening to us that I think so. These guys are insane.
Yeah.
Yes, we are.
Like, what are you talking about?
Yeah.
But that's probably, it's probably often.
Probably often.
Sorry.
Ian Safar, how are we doing? What's going on?
Oh, doing great. Yep, appears the wreck is around mile marker 213, oversized truck on I-40 West near I-24.
There you go.
So, heads up, thanks to the Fox traffic there.
There you go. Well, keep an eye on that.
But yeah, doing great, thanks.
Good, yeah. Got some football tonight. Packers.
Yeah, how you feeling?
Commanders. Confident. Feeling good. I'm interested to see Micah Parsons game two, what that defense does against Jaden Daniels, who is very good and obviously is, I think we would all agree, a little bit more mobile than Jared Goff last week. So we'll see what that looks like tonight. But excited. I mean, anytime we get a good Thursday night football matchup, I'm here for it, Joe, because we've seen our fair share of bad Thursday night football matchups.
Yeah, at some point, once you get, unfortunately, you take football for granted, you never should, but at some point you get into a season and you're like, okay, I'm used to just football all the time and that's just what life is, then sometimes but right now I think even if we had a crappy Thursday game, I'd be up for it,
yep.
Like early in the year, it's like, I don't care. Fine,
yep.
Football. But yes, this objectively in any day is a good game.
Yes. So we will get into that a little bit later in the show. We will get into the Titans and some comments from Brian Callahan and Cam Ward yesterday a little bit later in the show as well. We begin with Tennessee and Georgia coming up on Saturday at Neyland Stadium. Lots of discussion about this game out there. I said yesterday Georgia fans have done an outstanding job of convincing themselves that they are being disrespected heading into this game. So Kirby Smart has done it again. He's got the Georgia fans believing that nobody believes in them and that everyone thinks they suck. So we'll see how that plays out for them on Saturday in Neyland Stadium. But a big recruiting day for Tennessee coming up. They've got some high-level recruits coming. I was looking at the industry ranking on 3 for their 2026 class. And we've talked about like getting in that neighborhood with some of the elite programs. I mean, right now, on 3, their industry ranking has them at 8. And it's right in front of Ohio State, right in there with Alabama
for this
Texas
class.
A&M for this class in 2026. So they had some key flips a couple of weeks ago, and then you're already starting to see them do some work on the 2027 class as well. So one of the things we talked about, Joe, when Tennessee got the Adidas deal, and I heard Tennessee fans talking about this a lot, was, okay, well, that's good. There's a lot of money coming in. You better see that payoff in recruiting because that's what you're telling us is going to happen here. So I don't know that necessarily the 2026 class is a huge representative of that, but 2027 and beyond, I'm interested to see how that affects things and how the NIL opportunities that come from that will affect things as well.
Yeah, look, I just, it's funny because I do think all of this stuff has been de-emphasized quite a bit, like the high school, the big visits, the high school. I mean, I kind of feel bad for the recruiting sites, frankly, because, you know, I mean, signing day used to just be insane, and now it's just so much of, like, obviously it's important, but then what happens next, right?
Yep.
Oh, are you keeping them another year? Maybe you can get somebody else. But, like, they've hit the blue chip markers in terms of the blue chip rating, having enough. And I forget the exact formula, but it's like, is it like having more 5 and 4 stars than 3 stars?
Yeah,
is it that simple?
There's a certain threshold of 4 and 5 stars you got to hit.
I think it's having more, or maybe it's just a certain percentage of 4 and 5 stars in your roster. Tennessee's there. Those are exclusively the teams that win national championships.
Yep.
But also Kennedy Brown, the number one prospect in the country.
Yep.
5-star offensive tag out of Houston. And, you know, take this for what it's worth. But when he was asked about it, the first two teams he mentioned were Georgia and Tennessee. Now, then there's also Ohio State and A&M and Clemson and Bama. Like, everybody's after him. But he's there in Knoxville this weekend, along with, like, you know, Faison Brandon will be there. And so Tristan Keyes, is he the number one receiver in the class?
Yeah. He's the one that flipped from LSU.
He's the one they just flipped from LSU. Yeah, it's, you know, when you get down to it with NIL, you know, look, you will have these Texas Techs who come in sometimes and just totally skew the market and say, yeah, like, okay, the market's what? We're going to pay you double that. Come on, let's go. But for the most part, everybody in this wants there to be general guidelines. And that's, and you know, and so you kind of do have that. You have general salary, you know, guidelines for position groups. Of course, this guy is going to go beyond that. He's the number one recruit in the country. There's going to be an intense competition for him. It's going to be a higher number. But everybody's going to offer that higher number, right? Like, they're going to be in the same range. So I still, like, some of the things that have just always been part of this, I still think matter. And it's you see decommitments from schools when they have losing seasons. You see schools that have surprisingly good seasons pick up commitments still, because once you kind of set the market, I mean, that's what it is, right? I mean, barring the rogue, and even Texas Tech, I understand, like, Cody Campbell, that those guys have, like, endless money, but there's still return on investment if you're a rich person, you know, where it's kind of like, man, 4 of those 5 kids that I just spent all this, like, it did nothing. Like, this is kind of dumb. So all of which is to say, I still think, like, a game like this, like beating a Georgia, showing people, yeah, we can beat Georgia, because Georgia has kicked the crap out of Tennessee.
Yep.
With Kirby Smart against Josh Heupel, 34-14 average score.
Yep.
I crunched some numbers on it last night. So I do think that, you know, you beat Georgia, and it's just another step to say, because you've beaten Alabama 2 of the last 3. You put 52 on them one time. You beat Florida 2 of the last 3. You put 38 on them one time. You threw a little 40 spot on LSU, by the way, a couple years ago. So, like, you know, you haven't played Texas yet. But for the most part, like, the top programs in the league, you've beat at least once under Heupel.
Yeah.
This is the – obviously, this is the best program. This is clearly the best program in the SEC. I mean, and some people might say Texas, but, you know, Texas is new, and – yeah, Georgia's still kicking their butt too, by the way. I think this is a big statement opportunity as a program that you can figure something out too, because obviously this offense has been so good at times against basically everybody else, and just there's just nothing against these guys.
Yeah, they've not solved Georgia, and, you know, we've heard the conversation of, well, Tennessee's offense just won't work against Georgia. That's not really true. I mean, Ole Miss runs basically the same offense, and they beat the crap out of Georgia last year. I mean, their offense looked great in that game.
Right.
So I don't think it's really about the offense. I think it just comes down to a couple of things. Georgia, for the most part, has been able to hold guys more in the box than other teams do, because they're so confident in their corners that they've just gone one-on-one, and they have either shut down Tennessee's receivers or the quarterback play has not been strong enough to overcome when you've gotten opportunities one-on-one out there. So is that different this weekend? Can you win more of those one-on-one matchups? And when you do, can you quarterback hit them? I mean, that's a huge part of what the game's going to look like on Saturday. And do you hit a couple where that opens up the running game. Because I guarantee you, like, the game plan for Kirby Smart heading into this is going to be like, hey, don't let them just annihilate you in the running game. Like, that's what it's going to be. And they're going to make Tennessee's receivers and their transfer quarterback beat them down the field. And can you do that on a consistent enough basis where Georgia's got to reconsider the way that they're playing you? I mean, I think that's a big part of it. But, you know, in some ways, though, it does kind of feel like, you know, I think back to 2022 in the Alabama game, and Tennessee gets that win, and what a big deal that was, obviously for the fan base, but what a big deal I think that was in recruiting. Like, I think it was a big deal to show that they could slay that dragon, they could, that offense could work against that style of defense, and I think that was a big deal for them. This is, you know, it's not the same because Tennessee has elevated their profile as a recruiter. If you just look at the rankings, like, they've elevated. But is there an opportunity to elevate even more with a win like this against Georgia?
Yeah, like, if you lose a close game, I don't think that the recruiting is going to fall off, you know. Now, if you have a, you know, 6-6, 7-5 year, okay, then maybe, I wouldn't be surprised at all if some of these guys are like, eh. I mean, you want to make your money, of course. You're going to make your money if you're one of these top recruits. You're going to. So you want to play in the biggest games. You want to play in the playoff. You want to, of course, you know, the NFL development thing, and that's. But again, as much as it's a talking point, Tennessee continues to, you know. And by the way, some of these Tennessee receivers in the NFL, I mean, Tillman is doing really. Dante Thornton comes out and he's doing some stuff. So I mean, they're kind of busting that, at least the narrative on the receiver side of things. Some, but. If you win this game, yeah, that's where it's like, okay, like, I wouldn't expect, you know, for one thing, this is, Georgia had those two teams that went 29-1 that were absurdly good.
Yep.
And they've had two teams since then that were, they were in the playoff last year, really good contender, but not that level. It's still the best program. I don't expect, like, complete euphoria. Like, I wouldn't expect. Like, would the goalpost be pulled down? Probably not if they beat Georgia. I guess it's possible. It probably depends on the type of game it is.
Personally, I hope not, but it's possible.
If it's like this insane, like that Alabama game was, that was going to happen no matter how they beat Alabama, right, at that point. At this point in your program, if it's like some crazy overtime game, an incredible, you know, maybe.
Yeah.
I don't know. That'll be interesting. But even if not, it's not the same level, but it's a big deal. And it is a big deal to take out to people and say, hey, who in this league, you know, who in this league can't we beat? Yep. I mean, right now, Tennessee under Josh Heupel against Kirby Smart is like the Titans every game. 17 is the ceiling.
Yeah, pretty much.
Like, you gotta get past that. But, yeah, I agree. It's, I mean, basically, it's just Georgia is – I mean, Georgia can do this to a lot of different types of offenses. And when it's just as simple as, yeah, we're okay on an island out there, and also we're going to beat you up front too. So even if we have a light box, we're still going to. But Georgia also, in the four games, they have been right around 50% pressure rate, which is a huge number, all four games. Why? Because, again, it comes back to, we got pros in the back end, we're fine. And they have more now.
Exactly. 615-737-1025 is our phone number. What sort of a chance do you give Tennessee to take down Georgia on Saturday? We'll take your thoughts on that. More coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.
Pleased with what our guys did last weekend, and you know, today's about getting better. They were great in the building. Obviously, we know the test that we have in front of us, facing a really good Georgia football team. You know, it's a great weekend, opportunity for game day to be here. On the biggest stage in college football. And while that's going on, get a chance to also recognize and welcome back one of our own, and John Henderson, you know, College Football Hall of Famer, one of the greats to have ever played the position, and certainly one of the greats here. And it'll be great to have a bunch of his teammates back here as we get a chance to celebrate him too. Checker Nealon, anticipate our fans helping bring in the Nealon effect here, and create a great atmosphere on Saturday afternoon. So looking forward to the contest and the preparation during the course of the week.
Get excited.
That was Josh Heupel earlier this week. Got Rex Road fired up.
Tell you what, man. That guy, good football coach, good guy, incredible at never saying anything.
He really is. He's a master at not saying anything
and
in press conference.
Just like... Like, you can just set your watch to his answers, and it's just basically, unless the
if I heard our young guys don't have time to be young once in fall camp, I heard it about 80 times.
Like, unless you get them real pissed off, right? Like,
yeah,
like
that's
like
the thing.
At Alabama 2 years ago, when, yeah, you know, and he'll, well, of course, then, you know.
So the refs screwed you, Josh. Talk about that.
Turn the microphone around.
Oh, yeah, that was last year. Yeah, actually. Yeah, that was awesome. Actually Sparkles last year. Kinda.
So you did it to the mic,
so if
Adam.
If he's mad, yeah, he might do something interesting. But, like, yeah, these preview press conferences, just throw in a little bit different names. It's the exact same words. It's amazing, man.
It's good stuff. We've thrown the question out there. What sort of chance are you giving Tennessee to take down Georgia this weekend? Brandon on the YouTube chat, zero. Jared on the YouTube chat, zero. Brandon goes back and says, double the spread for Georgia. Triple it, for that matter.
This reminds me of 2 years ago when Chase and Big Joe were like, oh, yeah, Tennessee is going to beat Georgia. We're like, no, they're not. Let's bet like a big breakfast or lunch. I said, okay. And then what was Georgia's final score? What was it, 30?
They won by about 30, I think, or something like
48
that.
48-10?
Yeah.
And then they still haven't given us our meal.
Yeah.
Great. Good job, guys. But, yeah, no, I disagree. Like, if you, I mean, we'll see. Maybe they'll just get their doors blown off again. I don't think that's happening. I think they have a really good chance of winning this game.
K-Dot says, crazy? Tennessee wins. Lock it down. That's from K-Dot on the YouTube chat. Look, first off, we're going to find out a lot about both teams, I think. You know, we talked with Seth Emerson yesterday. Georgia fans are concerned with Gunnar Stockton right now because he's not throwing the ball down the field. And, you know, they've played Marshall and Austin Peay, and they sleptwalked through the Austin Peay game and had a weather delay and all this other stuff. And now, you know, there's some Georgia fans that are nervous. I get it. You know, one thing in all seriousness that's going to be interesting, it really is Gunnar Stockton's, like, first true road game in the SEC. And
right.
You know, I know people have made a big deal this week, and Tennessee fans have made a big deal of Kirby Smart saying on Monday that the environment is not something you worry about. If you watch the clip, he's not talking about, like, you know, Neyland Stadium not being loud or anything. He's like, his point was basically, it's 11-on-11 out there, and you have to go win. And if you start worrying about the crowd, that's how you get into trouble at that point. And then yesterday, he started talking about how Neyland is one of the loudest places in America, and all of all his fans are like, overcorrecting. Hey, Kirby's back in there overcorrecting. So it will be interesting to see how Gunnar Stockton handles that on the road. I think Tennessee has gotten to a point talent wise where, especially at home, they should not get blown off the field by Georgia.
No,
they should not,
and they really didn't last year. I mean,
no,
it ended up being 31-70, but they were winning. Like, that game, they matched up with them fine.
Yes. So, I think there's a baseline of talent that Tennessee has been able to cook up that, again, particularly at home, they should have a shot to win. Now, Georgia's better. They're more talented. Tennessee has done well recruiting. They have not done Georgia-level recruiting. So, Georgia is a more talented team. The fact that the spread started at 7.5 and now apparently it's down to 3.5 as a Tennessee fan scares the crap out of me. Like, I don't like that at all. So, we'll get to Pigskin Pickin' coming up tomorrow. I can tell you, I'm leaning Georgia. Like, this is a matchup to me with Tennessee that has reached the point where I need to see you go do it before I believe that you're going to do it. That would be how I would answer it.
Yeah, that's totally fair. But, like, this whole – I know Brandon, who hates Glenn Ellerbe with all his heart, he's the one saying double spread, triplet, all that stuff. By the way, Brandon, I would ask you – if you've noticed some decent offensive line play, I understand the opponents.
Well, we're going to find out.
We're going to find out. But, like, Jesse Perry, for example, this is what I've been waiting for. Okay, they have someone in the program who's young who comes up and says, oh, look at that. That guy can play.
Yeah.
I think this kid can play. As much as I hate Pro Football Focus, he is the number one rated offensive tackle in all of Power 4 last week.
Yeah, they played ETSU.
Yeah, you would hope he'd have a good grade.
Yeah.
But he does look like he can play.
I agree.
And that's a guy who, of course, now he's supposed to be the right guard, and David Sanders is supposed to be the right tackle, and David Sanders is questionable. I don't think we're going to see him Saturday. I don't know why you would put David Sanders out there in this game, right?
Like, I think we're going to see him.
You think so?
Yeah.
I think that's
– I don't – now, the question is how much are they going to see him? I think he's going to play.
Yeah. I mean, I guess it's okay to play them some, but then, man, don't you feel like as much cohesion and continuity on that offensive line?
That's why I don't think he's going to play like – I don't think they're going to sit here and be like, hey, you're playing 95% of the offensive snaps. But I think he's going to play.
Yeah.
I think he – reading between the lines, I think he could have played last week.
Yeah. That makes sense. I wouldn't do it because Perry looks good, and it looks good. Now, of course, you could bump Perry inside, and then and you can make the overall line stronger. That would be something.
I'm interested to see.
Yeah.
Because that, to your point, that's a huge part of this game. You know, Tennessee's offensive line, they've had some good offensive lines, but they've been overwhelmed by Georgia, right? So can you prevent that from being the case in this matchup? Like, it's all about, like Tennessee, can you hold your ground and give your guys on the outside a shot to win one-on-one matchups? Guys on the outside, the running backs, like, you need to get them into one-on-one matchups, and can you win them?
Yeah.
That's what it comes down to.
Because in the last 4 years, as dominant it's been, again, so Tennessee has four passing plays of 20 yards or more in the four games. They had none last year. Really, the first game, Tillman actually went off, and like between Hooker and Milton, they threw for 300 yards in that 2021 game. Since then, the pass yards have gone down. But like, if you watch the all 22s of those games, or if you were there in the press box, like there were plays. There were plays to be made.
They just missed them.
Yeah. Well, in a lot of cases, because the quarterback got gobbled up. Sometimes the quarterback, didn't see it. I mean, that's been a problem too. But. Yeah, the offensive line in this is huge.
You think Boo Carter could play an extra role this week?
I'm interested to see. If they're going to do it at any point, you would think that games like this would be when they would try it.
Throw
a couple things for him. I like
the three receivers they got going.
I do
right
too.
Now.
Like I think you're not going to see Boo Carter at any point this year, I think, play like 15 snaps on offense. It's going to be very limited in what he does. But yeah, I think there's a chance you could see that on Saturday.
Just a couple plays to try to get him in space. I mean, that return last week, some of his cuts were like, geez, man.
High stepping against ETSU and
hey man, it looks good. Yeah.
It's like, what are you doing, man? Just go.
But yeah, like if it was as bad as we thought it might be at receiver, then I could see it being a little bit like, okay, I got to get booed. But I mean,
it's a huge Mike Matthews game. This is a big Mike Matthews game. Of what is he? He's a five-star guy. He made a great play last week against ETSU. On a weird-looking play, went up, got the ball. But again, you're not going to find much more of a drastic difference from week to week playing ETSU and playing Georgia. That's what college football is, and I understand that. And look, same thing to Georgia. You're going from Austin Peay to Tennessee. It's a pretty big jump. So what is Mike Matthews? Because to me, if they're going to win this game, he's going to have to come up with probably a couple plays down the field, a couple 50-50 shots down the field.
Yeah. Like you said, Brazel's been really good, and Brazel, 6'5", strong guy. I mean, those two guys – and that is, Sparks had a good story about if you just isolate the outside receivers for Tennessee and how little they've done in this matchup. You know, they've had some success in the slot. I also, again, I think Miles Kitzelman is, this is one of those games where you need to try to put those linebackers in conflict some because that's where they're strong again coming downhill is those Georgia linebackers.
Well, and is this a game where the kind of the three-headed attack at running back – Is that a benefit for you in this game where you've got three different guys, all of which are pretty big, by the way?
Yeah.
Like they're different styles than Dylan Sampson was. Not that Sampson couldn't, give you some power running, but Sampson's a smaller guy. Like Peyton Lewis is huge. Deshaun Bishop is shorter but stocky. And Star Thomas has been great through the first two games. So like they've got a three back approach right now that has been very good for them so far. I'm interested to see what it looks like against Georgia.
Yeah, this is one of those games where you start to learn a little bit about the hierarchy probably, right?
I would agree. 615-737-1025, our phone number, 615-737-1025. We'll continue to take your thoughts on Tennessee and Georgia. Plus, a story in college sports that I am very interested to see how the public responds to this one. We'll get into that coming up next. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game. This Saturday, MTSU will take on Nevada at 4 o'clock. Catch all the action on Totally Hits 93.3 with coverage also available on the Totally Hits Nashville app and it totally hits Nashville.com. Later today on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, the Nashville Sounds taking on Gwinnett at First Horizon Park. First pitch at 6:35. Coverage available on the Game Nashville app, GameNashville.com. Sounds baseball on ESPN 94.9 The Fan, presented by Twin Peaks and Family Leisure. We will have the best and worst things in sports coming up here at 6:45. We'll take your best things, your worst things, on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Joe, an interesting story in college sports that when sports gambling was legalized in a lot of places in our country, we wondered if this would become an issue at some point. And something, obviously, that these leagues and college sports are going to have to monitor here. So I'll just read the opening couple of graphs here from a story on ESPN.com. Quote, a Fresno State men's basketball player manipulated his performance for gambling purposes and conspired with two players to place bets on his statistics, according to findings from an NCAA investigation released Wednesday. The NCAA ruled that Fresno State forward Michael Robinson, San Jose State guard Steven Vasquez, and Fresno State guard Jalen Weaver are permanently ineligible due to gambling violations and are no longer enrolled at their schools. Robinson and Vasquez, who were roommates at Fresno State during 23-24 season, conspired to wager on Robinson to underperform during a January 7, 2025 game between Fresno State and Colorado State. Three prop bets totaling $2,200 were placed on the under for Robinson's stats. The bets were flagged by a Nevada sportsbook operator, who those bets won $15,000, $15,950. And one of the bets was placed by Vasquez and a sportsbook trader. So betting the under and underperforming on purpose. What do you make of that?
That's the thing. You know, if through the history of, you know, gambling being connected with sports, I mean, you go to Boston College basketball in the 70s when Bruce Pearl was a student manager, and point shaving having to do with, like, the God, which family was it? It was referenced in Goodfellas. It was those guys were fixing it with these Boston College players to, you know, to overall as a team not cover the spread. That's hard, though, right?
Yeah.
I mean, that's like, I think they successfully did it, but, like, you really have to, I mean, it's not like everybody's in on it, right? I mean, it's kind of like you get the Black Sox, Chicago White Sox of, you know, 1919, right?
Yep.
It's maybe a little easier in baseball because it's an individual base. Like, you can, but still, I mean, if one person on your team's not in or whatever, it's hard to do. Well, individual prop bets are very easy. It's just like you're over under on, you know, whatever it is, assists. I haven't read if, is there detailing on exactly which stats and what, you know, he came in at?
It says during the game, it doesn't say exactly what they bet. It says Robertson altered his performance, 3 points scored, 2 rebounds, 1 3-pointer, and no assists to ensure the underline bets won.
Yeah.
So I don't know exactly where they set
the
over
under
at,
was,
but
I mean, think about that. You know, it's really kind of easy. It's like, I got 2 assists. Well, I guess
I'm not passing the ball tonight.
I'm going to shoot or throw it off someone's foot.
Yeah.
So, like, first of all, you can look at this and be like, oh, my God, think of the possibility. And we've already seen some stuff. I mean, we saw the Alabama baseball coach stuff. I would also argue, though, every time this happens and this becomes a story and you see because, look, man, the house always wins. They're not messing around, okay? And so I think we're starting to come to some consciousness as a society. Like, actually, I wouldn't mess with that, man, because they're done. They're done for one stupid little prop bet. Yeah. And so I actually think there's another bigger conversation about gambling and gambling addiction and all these things and people on their phones, I do think that, like, for sports purposes, this is ultimately better. Like, these things are now brought to the forefront because the books
so
care
much
enough.
Attention
to,
on it.
Yeah, exactly. We've talked about that before. Like, is that going to be the case? I tend to think so. Now, I know some people would say, yeah, but also you have so many more opportunities for things like this to happen. So there's always going to be stupid people who do stuff. So I'm sure we haven't seen the last of this. I have to think there's quite a deterrent at this point, right?
You would think. I mean, I guess, I don't know for sure that, like, every either college athlete or professional athlete that's attempted to do some of these things that we know about Like, I don't know that we know about all of them. I don't know that we've caught all of them. But I think we caught a lot, right? Like, I think it's been, you know, at this point, whether you want to talk about some suspensions in professional sports or now this story in college basketball, like, I think it's the deterrent is out there. Now, I've always thought this, like, this is what made this story so interesting to me. Because when I heard about it, I thought to myself, oh, well, they were betting on themselves to hit all the overs. And they just didn't. I was like, nope, that's not it. Because I've always thought, like, I don't really care. Like, if it's an NFL wide receiver and you look at your over-under and it's like, well, I'm going over. And you bet on that. Like, I don't care about that.
I mean, you can't do it. But, yeah, I hear you.
You can't do it. But, like, and this is why. Because then you're like, what are you doing? Getting in your huddle and looking at your quarterback and be like, hey, man, I need about 6 more yards for my over. Like,
or I'm going to kill you.
Or, yeah, exactly. Yeah. Like, so I understand why you can't do it. But, like, philosophically, I've never had a problem with, like, oh, okay, well, this guy is betting on himself. I'll show you.
I'll
whatever.
Just perform well.
Right. But when you start to get into the unders, that's and you're just tanking it out there, that's why you can't have this stuff.
Well, that's even like with Pete Rose, there was always the – did he bet on the Reds? But also, did he ever bet against the Reds? You know,
exactly.
Like, yeah. What I think,
because those are two different things. Right?
Let's try the rookie today. Yeah, let's make this pitching change right now. Yeah,
because honestly, if he bets on the Reds, it's like, well, I mean, he's out there trying to win every game anyway. Right. Yeah, so like, what? Who really cares? Or when you get into the other stuff, it's bad.
I'm gonna make sure we lose and make money. Yeah. So, Jared from Spring Hill, it was not Gambino. The Gambino family is actually the family that. The Godfather, that's the Carlo Gambino is the Godfather. It was not the Gambino family. It was the Lucchese. I'm going to figure this out. It's very important. I know.
Yes,
it's very important that we remember this. Which of the five families was the Goodfellas? I'll get that answer for you very soon.
I mean, I thought maybe Nicholas Petit Frere, when he got busted for this, was maybe the last straw at professional sports, but it didn't work out that way.
It is Lucchese.
There you go.
Yeah, NPF.
Is he still a fantasy football expert?
God, I hope so. Did he get cut?
Haven't seen it anywhere.
I haven't either. Yeah, I don't think he's on a team right now.
Is he like a free agent?
I think so.
Yeah, I think him and Diller got put on IR, did he not? Or did he get cut?
One of them just straight up got cut.
One of them got cut. Petit Frere got cut. Yeah, Petit Frere got cut.
Yeah, it's just like
he's just out there.
And you know, by the way, I'm sitting here watching a cut up of Dan Moore the first week, and I understand you can cut up something if you want to cut up all the bad ones or all the good ones of someone, right? I understand, but way too many bad ones.
The analytics,
way too many really bad, really bad snaps for him in this game.
The charts, he's like way down there, and all those like analytic, charts that they have.
That's good.
That bottom corner there.
Yeah, that's good.
It is like one game, okay, and this week will be a great test. But my God, if they have yet another Cheeks left tackle.
Well, this time they're paying him a lot of money.
This time
he's not going anywhere.
Yeah, I mean. Well, they paid. What did they pay? They paid. What did they pay Dillard?
Not anything close to this.
Yeah,
yeah,
yeah.
And I don't remember what the terms were, but I know it wasn't this.
Yeah, it's pretty depressing. But also depressing, like, Petit Frere, way too talented. Way too talented a guy, just in general, to not at least be a rotational tackle in this league. It's very disappointing.
615-737-1025, our phone number. It's time for the best and worst things in sports for this week. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. Robbie and Rex Road, 1025 The Game.
The best and worst of the sports week, now on Robbie and Rex Road.
On ESPN.
1025 The Game and the Game Nashville app.
This is the worst.
You look like you're feeling sorry for yourself.
I believe in miracles. Yes! Unbelievable.
He's one of one. He is him.
This is a Coke bottle. It's not a crystal ball.
When I woke up this morning, I was feeling pretty dangerous.
Okay, let's go.
It is that time of the week. The best and worst things in sports. We'll take your best things, your worst things on our text line, driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com, 615-737-1025. Joe Rexroad, kick us off. We're the best and worst things in the world of sports.
Well, y'all said you're going to be Detroit Tigers fans with me, so let me just give you a little update. That's 11-1 over the Yankees last night after it was 12-2 the night before. That's 23-3
Tigers. Take that, Kuharski.
Have some, Kuharski. The Tigers' magic number is 8. They're 84-62, which is the best record in the American League and third best in baseball because the Phillies have gone nuts too. So the Brewers and Phillies, and as we know, those Philly fans are something else.
Yeah, they are.
They could be.
Watch out for your personal belongings out there.
I tell you what. But the big thing here is that Casey Mize gave a great performance, and then John Flaherty gave a great performance. If those two guys, in tandem with Terry Skubel, can keep doing that, now we got a playoff rotation. That's my best thing in sports.
There you go.
My worst thing in sports, I try to sometimes, you know, be unique or think for myself a little bit. But, like, I'm sitting here watching these Dan Moore pass sets and just the Tennessee Titans. I mean, just the Broncos turn it over 4 times. Bo Nix is terrible. They do everything they can to hand you the game, and you just insist. Again, this is like, if it's like the woman in Philly, you know, it's like then all of a sudden she's like, no, I say here, you take it back. I mean, that's what you did. Like, it's like, it's just incredible, the incompetence. And obviously all the stuff with Brian Callahan.
Oh, yeah.
It's, you know, the whole thing. It's just very depressing for this to be the way things started.
We need a real bounce back performance from the Tennessee Titans on Sunday. Desperately.
The world needs it.
The world needs it. Ian Safar, your best and worst things in the world of sports.
For my best, I'm going to go Vandy, second half. Vandy. That's my best.
Oh, yeah.
I mean,
I'm in it.
Yeah, that was pretty good to see them turn it on. They looked impressive. Some big plays. Offense, defense, they all looked good. So give me Vandy as my best this week. Setting up a fun matchup versus South Carolina. And I'm going to kind of piggyback off of Joe. It's just the Brian Callahan situation this week as my worst. Just everything from the rule, as much as we've been talking about it, just every time I go back and think like, okay, he's talking about the rule and didn't know the rule. The replay guy apparently didn't know the rule. It is the way he explained it. It was just bad. And every time I hear other people talk about it, I just keep going back in my mind like, what happened? So
that's our coach.
That's my worst, unfortunately.
That's my coach. Did anybody do that? No, that was T.O. That's my quarterback.
Yeah, that's my quarterback. My best thing in sports this weekend, SEC football around here. Vanderbilt, South Carolina, I'm very excited about. Georgia, Tennessee, I am very excited about. And frankly, with how bad the Titans are and how much bad football we've had to watch around here, thank God those two teams are good. Thank God Vanderbilt's good. Thank God Tennessee's good. We're going to find out how good both of them are this weekend, but I'm looking forward to it. Vanderbilt, very impressive against Virginia Tech. And Tennessee has done what they're supposed to do to this point. We're going to find out exactly what they are on Saturday. But you're talking about high-level college football matchups. You know, I saw Josh Pate talking about this the other day, like, an absolute just bloodbath that no one's talking about in college football this weekend is Vanderbilt, South Carolina. Like, it's going to be crazy. Like, I'm very excited for that game, and it's not going to get the same national attention as Georgia, Tennessee is, but I think it's got a chance to be a really good game out there in Columbia on Saturday.
No question.
My worst thing in sports, the reaction that the Canadian media has given to Connor McDavid not signing yet is very funny to me. Like, they're, like, stunned that Connor McDavid has not signed a contract extension with the Edmonton Oilers.
Love it.
And I told you guys the day after the Stanley
Cup
Final.
You've been calling it, man.
If I was him, no chance I'm signing. Certainly not this summer. And if I was him, I wouldn't sign at all until I would be a free agent. And that doesn't mean that you can't be a free agent and then eventually go back to Edmonton. But it's hilarious to me that now the Canadian media is catching on. They're like, well, he said he's Connor McDavid talked last week, and he's like, everything's on the table, short term, long term, no term. They're like, oh, he said no term. Like, yeah, there's a chance he might leave. I know this freaks you guys out. A lot of people don't want to live in Edmonton. I know it's shocking to you guys, but just saying. It's very funny to me this reaction. I'm like, have you guys been paying?
Oh,
like,
my goodness.
It makes no sense for Connor McDavid to sign an extension right now. None. See what you got this year. See how the team handles it. See if they can find you a goalie at some point. If they can't, go play somewhere else.
Yeah. See, yeah. Keep your options open. Why wouldn't you?
And selfishly, I'm here for a Connor McDavid unrestricted free agency. Oh, that could be awesome.
Man, how fun would that be?
Frankly, the NHL needs something like that.
The cap might be blown up.
Might be.
Well, I was reading about Kaprizov. Did you hear about Minnesota, Kaprizov?
He got offered the richest deal in NHL
richest
history.
NHL. Said,
no thanks.
Crazy, no?
Yeah.
Seems like it.
8 years, I think $16 million a year. And he's like, nope, I'm good. Thank you.
That's wild.
It is. That's the Wild who offered him that contract.
That is the Wild. That's wild,
nice.
Wild.
Nice job. JC in Gillisville says, best being on the field for Inner Sandman at Virginia Tech and the Vanderbilt second half. The worst, watching the Cincinnati Reds' low payroll relief pitchers. That's a common complaint I hear from Reds fans.
Oh, yeah, that's right, JC. Glad to – he was telling us last week that he was able to go. So it looked like Inner Sandman was awesome. You know, like
first
it always is.
First few minutes
is.
For the game.
Yeah,
and then
a pretty good first half. And then and then exit everyone. Yeah. Enter Sandman, exit everyone before the fourth quarter.
Greg says, best Tennessee putting up 72 points. Worst, the Titans video review coordinator. Santa says the worst is receivers who can't catch. And the best is the joy on the faces of the Brazilian fans during the Friday night game as they sing the national anthem.
Hmm.
I don't know what game you're referring to, but I'll take your word.
I don't either. But it sounds very good.
Sounds
a
good.
Football game from Brazil?
Oh, okay, there you go. Yeah. There it is.
The Friday night game, right?
I did not make it in time for the national anthem.
Oh, yeah, right. Yeah,
I turned it on in the middle of the first drive by the Chargers.
I missed the anthem, too, unfortunately.
Lance says, the worst thing in sports is the tragedy yesterday from Charlie Kirk. Obviously, that was a tough one to watch. And, you know, we're not going to get too much into that because we are a sports show, but obviously a bad day yesterday. So.
Yep. It's violence as an answer to anything is worst in life.
Yep, no doubt about that. We will get into the Titans coming up next. Brian Callahan addressed the media yesterday. Cam Ward with some comments looking ahead to week 2 against the LA Rams. Coming up, we will get into all that. We got the Rob Rant next hour. Charles Robinson from Yahoo Sports at 8 o'clock. All that ahead, Robbie and Rex Road, 102.5 The Game.